May the Lord bless that lovely hymn to all of our hearts, and we thank the choir again tonight for singing to us. If you have your Bible with you this evening, we're turning to God's Word, to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis and the chapter 41. Can I just say, as you're looking up the place, it's a great privilege for me to be with you tonight at your special harvest services. And we do pray that the Lord will not only bless us tonight, but as you continue your harvest weekend tomorrow, that the Lord will richly bless the preaching of His precious word. I'm delighted to be with you. I'd like to thank the Reverend Park for the invitation to come along tonight and to preach the precious word of God. Now we're going to read a few verses from Genesis chapter 41, and we're just going to read some verses at the end of the chapter. And if you haven't got a Bible with you tonight, then please just listen very carefully to the reading of God's precious word. We're going to commence our reading at verse 46. Genesis 41, verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And then verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, and in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. Now look at verse 56 and underline it in your Bible. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of the chapter. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of His precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Let's ask the Lord for His help. And certainly we need the help of the Lord tonight as we come to preach God's precious truth. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee this evening for Your presence with us in this place tonight. We thank Thee and we praise Thee, Lord, for all the material things of life, for food on our table, for clothes on our back, for a roof over our head. O God, we praise Thee tonight for all Thy bountiful mercies to us. Lord, we have proven the promise of God again that seed time and harvest will not fail. But Lord, most of all, we thank Thee for all the spiritual blessings in Christ our Saviour. And O God, for those of us here tonight who are saved, we lift up our hearts and we praise Thee for the day when You saved us by Your grace and washed us in the precious blood of Christ. We thank the Lord that we're heaven bound, that someday we're going to see the King in all His glory. O God, we praise Thee tonight that our sins, which were many, are all washed away. And Lord, we pray that You'll help us in these days to rejoice in Thee. And we do pray, O God, that You would be pleased to send us a breath of revival. Lord, we do pray for those in this meeting tonight, however, who are still strangers to grace and to God. They know nothing of God's wonderful redemption in Christ. We pray, Lord, this evening that You would speak to their hearts and save them by Your grace. O God, we thank Thee that the fields are white already to harvest,
And we thank the Lord that we're still in this day of grace, and you're still able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus. Lord, we need your help tonight. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that you would be pleased to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Hide man behind the cross. We pray, Lord, that none would be seen save Jesus only. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Very simply this evening, I want to preach on the subject, the famine in Egypt in the days of Joseph. The story of Joseph is a very well-known story in the Word of God. Indeed, the events leading up to Joseph becoming the Prime Minister of Egypt is well documented in the book of Genesis. In the providence of God, Joseph was brought to Egypt to preserve life because of the famine that was going to cripple the world at that time. Indeed, the story of Joseph, in this story we can see the mercy of God not only towards his church, but we can also see the mercy of God towards the entire world at that time. Had not God brought Joseph down into Egypt, I believe that humanly speaking the world at that time would have come to an end. And in the course of our message we will see this more clearly. Therefore, the events of Joseph's life were not just accidental, but they were providential and in accordance with the plan and will of God. And I believe we can state that clearly when we study the life of this individual in the book of Genesis. Now, Joseph, of course, is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in this story, and particularly in this famine, we have a wonderful picture of Christ's provision for sinners. Just as Joseph in the providence of God was brought down into Egypt to save life, so in the plan of God, Christ came from heaven to earth to save life by providing eternal salvation for sinners. Tonight, very simply, as we come to the close of this harvest service, I want to draw your attention to this famine in Egypt in the days of Joseph. And very simply, I want to apply it in the gospel. And I do pray that if there are those here tonight, and you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, that the Lord will speak to your heart. And I do pray that you will listen very carefully this evening to this message. I do pray that the Lord will write it upon your heart, and that even this evening, you will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Your greatest need tonight is to be saved, to be born again of the Spirit of God. Your greatest need tonight is to have your sins forgiven and to be born again for time and for eternity. My friend, I do pray that if you're found here tonight without Christ, without God, and without hope in this world, that even this evening you will come and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Now, first of all, very simply, I want you to notice that the famine in the days of Joseph was worldwide. Now, I'm sure that you noticed that when we read this portion of Scripture. Take a look at Genesis 41 and verse 54. You read these words, "And the dearth was in all lands." Underline that. Look at verse 56. It says, "And the famine was over all the face of the earth." And then take a look there at verse 57 as well. "And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands." This famine was not just confined to the land of Egypt. Rather, it was a universal famine. It covered the entire earth. Every country in the world at that time was affected by this famine. Now, just think of the devastation that would have caused. The whole world starving because of lack of food. Now, today, there are localized famines in many countries in the world, and we can see the devastation that causes in those countries, with many tens of thousands of people dying. Well, just think of what it must have been like in the days of Joseph when the famine affected every nation upon the earth. Now, I'm sure that many of you have read this portion of Scripture before, especially if you're saved and love the Lord. Have you ever noticed that? This is a simple fact, and yet it is a fact that is taught here time and time again in this portion of God's precious Word. The famine in the days of Joseph was worldwide. It was universal. It affected every country across this world. You know, this worldwide famine in the days of Joseph, very simply, it reminds us of the sin that is in this world tonight. A famine, of course, is a plight, and sin is a plight. And as this famine was universal, so sin is universal. Just as this famine in the days of Joseph affected every soul upon this earth, so there is not a person in this world tonight that is not affected by the plight of sin. Let me remind you again of what the Bible teaches about the plight of sin. The Bible teaches us in Romans 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible teaches us again in Romans 3 verses 10 to 12, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And again in Romans 5 verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." Now as I look down into this congregation, I see many faces. I know some, others I don't know. My friend, one thing I can say for certain, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter how you've been brought up, everyone in this place tonight, and everyone outside this church, everyone in this world has been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I wonder, my friend, have you ever considered yourself a sinner before God? From the sole of your foot to the crown of your head, there's no goodness in you, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You know, the sad reality today is that when you speak to people about salvation, one of the things that they kick against is the fact that they will not admit that they are sinners before God. You see, man today always thinks that he's a little bit better than everyone else. But the truth is that we're all sinners. That we're all have been born into this world unrighteous. And we have been born and shapen in iniquity. And my friend, until you see yourself as God sees you, then you can never be saved by the grace of God. Until you recognize that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then you will never cry unto God for mercy. But I want you to notice something else about this famine. I want you to notice, secondly, that life could only be sustained by coming to Joseph. Now, did you notice that as you read down Genesis 41? Look at verse 55. Look what it says. "And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do." Not an interesting text. You see, the only place in the entire world where there was food was in the land of Egypt. And the only person in the entire world at that time who had the authority to release that food was Joseph. Look at chapter 41 and look at verse 39. "And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, For as much as God, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. You see, next to Pharaoh, Joseph was the most important man in Egypt. Indeed, in many respects, Joseph was more important than Pharaoh himself, because when the people wanted food, they did not go to Pharaoh, they went to Joseph. If they wanted to save their lives from hunger, they had to come to Joseph. No matter what country they lived in, their lives could only be sustained and saved by coming to Joseph. Now, it's very important that you see that point there, that truth that is brought out here when we consider this famine in Egypt in the days of Joseph. Joseph was the only one who could sustain life. You know, Joseph, as I've already said in the Bible, is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a picture of the Son of God. When you study the life of Joseph, you read that Joseph was hated by his brethren without a cause. Now, we haven't got the time to turn up all the places this evening, but you study the life of Joseph and you will learn that. And of course, Christ was hated by the Jews without a cause. Joseph was falsely accused. And of course, the Lord Jesus was falsely accused. Joseph was delivered from prison and exalted. And of course, the Lord Jesus was delivered from the grave and was resurrected and exalted. Therefore, as physical life could only be sustained by Joseph in the days of the worldwide famine, so spiritual life can only be sustained by Christ when we consider the plight of sin that covers this world today. See what I'm trying to say? My friend, the Bible says you're a sinner, and that sin is bringing you down to hell. And if you die in that state, then you will be lost forever and forever and forever. But praise God, the message of the gospel is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Joseph, has come to this earth, and he has shed his precious blood, and he has provided salvation for sinners. That's a wonderful message. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? Sinner, what we're trying to say is this, only by coming to Christ will you receive cleansing from your sin. Only by coming to the Savior will you be saved from the spiritual hunger that your sin has brought upon you. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me ask you a question tonight, a very simple question, but a very solemn question. Have you ever come to Christ and received him as the bread of life? When the Egyptians were hungry, they had to go to Joseph. Pharaoh said, You must go to Joseph. All other lambs, if they were to feed their hunger, they had not only to go to Egypt, but they had to go to Joseph. Joseph was the only individual that could release the bread, that could give them nourishment for their hunger. And my friend, there's only one tonight who can save you from your hunger and your famine and your sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But thank God, as we have already said, and let me say it again, the Lord Jesus Christ has provided eternal salvation for sinners. When he went to the cross, and when he laid down his life a ransom for the many, when he cried, It is finished, and praise God on the cross, when the Lord Jesus died the just for the unjust, he has provided eternal redemption for the ungodly. We often sing that hymn, and what a wonderful invitation it is, Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. He is able,
He is willing. Doubt no more. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're agreeing with what I'm saying. You know that you're a sinner. You know that you can't save yourself. You know that you're barren. You know what sin has done to your life, and you're hungry this evening. You're hungry and you're thirsting spiritually. And you know that there's only one that you can come to. It's not the preacher, it's not the church, it's not the minister, it's not the elders. It's Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. And my friend, let me tell you this, that if you come to Christ, come to heaven's Joseph, you will not be disappointed. There will be bread enough and to spare. Praise God, when the people came to Joseph, they were not disappointed. They did not go away hungry. They went away full. Because Joseph supplied their every need. And I'll tell you tonight, no matter how far down the road of iniquity you may have traveled, no matter how sinful you may think you are, if you come to heaven's Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will satisfy your every need. You'll go away full tonight. You'll go away satisfied tonight. You'll go away with your sins forgiven. You'll go away knowing that you're on your way to heaven. You'll go away knowing that you'll never be in hell. Because the Lord Jesus is no man's disappointment. Praise God for that. He satisfies the longing of the soul. Now there's something else I want you to notice. I want you to notice thirdly here, that Joseph, by opening the storehouses, gave everyone an opportunity to live. Now I want to emphasize the word everyone. Joseph, by opening the storehouses, gave everyone an opportunity to live. Look at verse 56. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses. Underline that. And sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. Now listen to this. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn. Notice a number of things about these storehouses. Now again, we haven't got the time to turn to the references, but I just want to draw your attention to them. First of all, they were planned many years before the famine came. Now if you read chapter 41 verses 33 and 36, you will see there that Pharaoh planned for the 7 years of famine in advance. So these storehouses, they were planned many years before the famine came. Notice also that a price was paid so that the storehouses could be filled. In other words, in the 7 years of plenty, the people had to take corn and store it up. And if you read verse 48 of chapter 41, you will see that provision had to be put away in the 7 years of plenty. So there had to be a price, there had to be a sacrifice made when everything was going well. And you will notice also that the storehouses met the need of the people. What do these storehouses speak of? These storehouses speak of the provision that Christ has made on the cross for sinners. They speak of the storehouse of redemption. Of course, the cross was planned by God even before the foundation of the world. A great price was paid because the Son of God had to come and die for our sins upon the cross. But thank God, the cross meets the need of every sinner who repents of their sin and by faith trusts in that finished work of redemption. Now when I speak about the cross, I'm not speaking about the wooden structure. I'm speaking about the price that was paid by the Lord Jesus when he died and shed his precious blood on Golgotha's brow. You see, by the Savior dying on the cross and shedding his blood, every sinner has an opportunity to be saved for all eternity. The Bible says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. But I want you to notice that just as the storehouses give everyone an opportunity to live, the death of Christ upon the cross, and of course his resurrection as well, The invitation goes out to the whosoever will. My friend, there's no one here tonight who cannot receive the invitation. You know what the Bible says? To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Paul said in Romans 9 verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Bible says in Acts 2 verse 21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 5 verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. And John 11 verse 26 says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You're a sinner on your way to hell. You can't save yourself. Only Christ can save you. Heaven's Joseph. But praise God, he is willing to save even you tonight. And my friend, the invitation goes out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's only one difference between Joseph's storehouses and the storehouse of redemption. The feast at the storehouse of redemption is free. Now, there was a great price paid for our salvation. Don't make any mistake about that. And I've already emphasized that price was paid when the Lord Jesus shed his blood upon the cross. But what I'm saying is this, for you and for me, salvation's free, because the Bible says it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Indeed, the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not, or receive the truth and sell it not. And we read in Isaiah 51, verse 1, O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy or receive and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The gift of God. Have you ever received the gift of God? Sinner, if you end up in hell, don't blame God. The invitation of heaven is simply, come. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22. I leave you with this text of Scripture. It's the last invitation in the Bible. Verse 17, we read these tremendous words. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. My, what a tremendous text of Scripture we have here. Just imagine the famine that was taking place in Egypt and across the world in the days of Joseph. There was no food anywhere except in Egypt. And there was no one who could release that food, only Joseph. And if the people were going to live, then they would have to come to Egypt and they would have to come to Joseph. My friend, there's only one whereby you can receive salvation and redemption and feed your soul tonight, and that is Christ. The work is done. Redemption has been completed. The Savior has cried, it is finished. Now he is seated at the right hand of his Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. But you've got to come. You've got to come. You've got to come and call upon him. You've got to come and believe on him. You've got to come and trust him. You've got to come in repentance and faith to him. Will you come tonight? Because the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not saved and you've been coming to many harvests down through the years. And it's good to see you here tonight. And you've come tonight to the harvest service. But have you ever come to the Savior? Oh, come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he shows us the way. Here in his word, he bids us come. Come tonight. And praise God, you will have your soul satisfied. You'll go away full, knowing that you're on your way to heaven, knowing that your sins are forgiven. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the great provision that has been provided for the sinner. We thank thee for the work of redemption. And O God, we just pray that you'll encourage your saints. Teach us again, Lord, what we have in Christ, all the spiritual blessings because of our heavenly Joseph. But Lord, I pray for those who are not saved in the meeting that you would speak personally to them and draw them to Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.